Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Good job. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Timmy. I take great delight every chance I can to pop these big old boys, these teenage boys and preacher boys, on the shoulder or in the belly, and every opportunity to embarrass them. I really do. That just makes my day. See, I watch them, and when you act like you're going to pop them in their stomach, here's what they do. They go. They learned it from Zach. Yeah. They try to stiffen up, muscle up. I love boys that are young men, not sissies, but young men. And I love girls that are young ladies. Not manly, but young ladies. And I'm grateful for these that God has given us here at our church. I love them. I'm proud of them. And I'm so excited about what God is going to do with them and for them in the future. By the way, men, put down March, the first Friday night, first Saturday morning of March, for our Men of the Word Conference. It's going to be a good one. Brother Dr. Jeff Fugit from Lexington, Kentucky is going to be our special speaker. And you'll want to be there. And we have some other guests that will be here preaching. And it's going to be good. The theme is men being men in a world of wimps. And for a wimp, we have taken one of the men's picture of our church and put on it, all you see is from here up of him, he's behind a chair. with his hair combed down and hiding, you know, saw a spider. And so I won't tell you which man it is. Well, we know it's not Brother Morris because I said his hair was combed down. So you can erase him. Yeah, Brother Horton, it's not him. You don't have to worry about that one. So we can eliminate some of those men. Brother Gressett, you don't have to worry about him, Brother Lloyd. But plan on being at that meeting. It's going to be a great meeting. Open your Bible tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. I'm going to begin a message tonight and preach only one point of it. I'll finish the message next week or the week following or however. But we have the Lord's Supper tonight, and I want to get started in the message, but I won't get all the way through it. I may not even get through the first point. And you'll understand once we get into it. I was so excited as I was reading this, and God showed me these things, and we began to study on them. And I hope they'll be an encouragement and help to you. Now, when you look at the book of Romans right away, it's the book of doctrine. It's teaching doctrine. Every doctrine, every fundamental doctrine taught in the Old Testament is, or mentioned in the Old Testament, is taught and emphasized in detail in the book of Romans. Stand with me as we begin to read in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And by the way, if you're going through some tough times, if you're going through some difficulty, tribulation, God is saying, hey, I'm trying to teach you to be patient. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We was neither righteous nor good, but Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. That's little babies. Who is the figure of him that was to come? Jesus came as a little baby into this world. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to point out tonight is in this verse, in this chapter rather, five different times the Lord inspired Paul to use the word much more, much more. And for the next couple of Wednesday nights, that's what I want to talk to you about in light of the context of this passage, much more. Heavenly Father, I need your help now as we look at these things that you've set forth here in this chapter in the Bible. What a great encouraging chapter to the children of God. What a blessing it is to know that we're not only saved, but we're eternally saved. That we're not loosely saved, but we are secure in Christ Jesus. Now, Father, we ask tonight to help us to learn a little more about your word and about the doctrines that you are teaching here in this chapter. For the more we know about you and your word, the more we will love you, and the more we will desire to serve you with our life that's been redeemed, that's been saved, that's been rescued, ransomed from sin and hell. Now fill me with thy spirit and help me tonight in these next few moments as we look into this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the book of Romans, Paul gives to the world an explanation of the nature and meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has provided for sinful man the means of eternal salvation that's been designed and provided by God Himself. The epistle of Romans takes the wonderful salvation that we have in Christ and breaks it down into doctrines known as the faith, that body of truth that we as Bible believers are to believe as doctrines. The faith, that truth that Jesus gave to the apostles gave to the church, and the church is to pass it on to every generation. That's part of the Great Commission. To teach, to instruct those converts that they might be mature and sound in faith. Now, the book of Romans is our book of doctrine. Every main doctrine referred to in the Old Testament and purchased through Christ in the New Testament is spoken in this epistle. For my message tonight, I don't want to preach purely a doctrinal message. I want to preach a message about doctrine, about three particular areas of doctrine. I want you to notice the words much more that's used again and again and again in chapter 5 here in the book of Romans. And I want to emphasize the great blessings connected with three great doctrines referred to. Now, the purpose of the message is not to present a study on these three doctrines, but to emphasize what God has emphasized, the doctrine and the much more that's referred to by this doctrine. Now let me help you illustrate what he's talking about by much more. I need some help. I need some young people. Would you three young people right here on this row come? Three on the next row there. Let's see here. These two right here, would y'all come up? There's about four right here. Would y'all come up and help me, please? These young people. All right. That's very good. Very good. Very good. Now, I want all of y'all to go over here except you two guys right here. All the rest of you go over here. Not you. I want you to stand right over here. All right. Now, this is a very simple illustration. How many do we have here? One. This is one person. This is an object. This is one object. A person. Now, we have here more. This is more than this one. These are two. They're not as good looking as this one. They don't smell as good as this one. They eat more than this one. But this is more. This is one object. One. This is more. Two. What we have over here is much more. Much more. Now, when we talk about these doctrines, we're not going to just talk about the doctrine. But we want to emphasize the much more that's connected with the truths that Jesus gave out for us, laid down for us. Thank you, young men and young ladies. Thank y'all. Thank you. Hey, guys, y'all don't smell worse than she does. In fact, your perfume smelled pretty good. Notice, if you will, verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And what our Lord is doing as He speaks through Paul is emphasizing not just the justification we have in Christ Jesus. He's emphasizing all the other things, the much more that's connected with justification. Now, the word justification is a judicial word that simply means when a sinner accepts Christ as their Savior, God declares in heaven that he is righteous in God's sight on the merits of the finished work of Jesus Christ. God declares him righteous. And in that act of declaring him righteous, he takes all of that person's sins and puts to the account of Christ. He blots them out of his book. And in the place of his sins, sins that have been blotted out, he takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and puts here in his record book. So when God looks at the record book, he does not see the man and all of his faults and all of his sins. Why can't God see them? Because they've been blotted out. They've been done away with. They've been forgiven. God's blotted them out of his mind. He's blotted them out of his book. He blotted them out with his own blood and by his own hand and for his own sake. They're gone. They'll never be remembered again. All those things you would be ashamed to have brought out publicly have been forgiven if you're saved. They've been blotted out, washed away, never to be remembered again. And that's ours in justification because of the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. The work He did for us on that cross. Now, salvation provides justification. We had a man today accept Christ as Savior. When he bowed his head and asked Jesus to be a Savior, every sin he's ever committed and everything he'd ever do wrong has been taken and put on Christ. Paid for. Blotted out. And in that place, in the place of his sin, he took the righteousness of Christ. Now I want you to know that is something special. That is magnanimous. That's big. That's great. That's more than you and I can comprehend. And if that is all there was to salvation, we ought to be shouting and jumping and running. And one of these days I'm going to be able to say magnanimous. But not when I need to. Goodness. But justification is a marvelous gift, a gift that cannot be purchased by man, given to us on the merit of Jesus Christ and Him alone. But that right standing before God is just part of justification. Because the Bible says there's much more. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And I want to point out some things concerning justification and the much more that's connected with it. In justification, we have the remission of the penalty that's against us as sinners. Being justified, I don't ever have to worry about hell again. I won't ever go there. You've heard me say oftentimes the only thing the Christian will ever know about hell is what we read in the Bible. Because we won't ever have to go there. Oh, what a blessing of being able to put my head on the pillow at night and know that because I have been saved, I have been declared righteous, I have been justified by the blood of Jesus, I don't ever have to worry about the judgment of God in hell. I don't have to worry about the wrath of God that's against the sinner. Oh, my soul. You see, salvation is more than just getting to go to heaven. It's much more. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. I'm telling you, if we had to stand publicly before all of our peers and all of our life be uncovered and revealed. Every one of us, from girls and boys old enough to understand to the senior saints, would tremble in fear, to run and hide, full of shame. I wouldn't want to do that, and neither would you. We don't have to. Because of justification, that's been done away with. Blotted out, never to be remembered again. Our sins have been forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. For the sinner, with the sinner's justification, the condemnation is gone. With the sinner's justification, we're no longer condemned. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed upon the name of the only begotten Son of God. Can you imagine going through life being condemned already? I'll be honest with you. I'm for capital punishment for certain crimes. But I think it is inhuman punishment. It's inhumane for that person to have to sit down there for 30 years condemned. If he's guilty, carry it out. Now, I'm saying I cannot imagine that person knowing that he's going to face the death penalty and he sits there for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years. Now, thank God there's some that's been put in there wrongly. And in that process of time, the wrong has been made right. Our system's not perfect. But I'm telling you, something worse is to live through life knowing you're a sinner and you're lost. And if you died in a moment, you'd go to hell. You see, most people don't understand that they're not going to stand before God and be put on the wheel, on the balance scales of justice to see if you've done enough good to overcome your wrong. No, no, no. The Bible says that a man without Christ, a woman without Christ, is condemned already. There'll be no chance of them getting by with their sin. There'll be no chance of them skipping out on hell. There'll be no chance of a reprieve after they die. Condemned already. But oh, one of the much mores of justification is that condemnation is gone. No longer condemned. Forgiven. A child of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Then the much more of justification brings peace with God. Peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that God and me are no longer enemies. We're on the same side now. I'm not fighting against Him and He's not against me. We've been born into the family. And I have peace. 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 That's one of the much mores that comes with justification. Peace with God. Justification also brings the restoration of God's favor to that person's life. You do understand a person that's unsaved, they don't even have the right of prayer. God does not hear the prayers of the unsaved except, "Be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul." That's the first prayer God will answer for the unsaved. You see, prayer is the privilege of a child talking to their heavenly Father. And He's not your heavenly Father until you've been born into the family. And once you've been born into the family, then you have favor with God. That means God does not want to see you in judgment in hell. He wants to bless you. He wants to make you smile with His goodness. He wants you to experience His favor because you're part of His family. And that has been restored. Justification restores God's favor to our life. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is... Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Our hope is not in me. Our goodness is not in me. It's in Christ. Boy, that little prepositional phrase. I'm having a tough time tonight with words, aren't I? A little prepositional phrase. In Christ. In Christ. Is one of the gold nuggets of the Christian life. That's where we are in heaven's point of view tonight. That's where we are from Satan's point of view. Oh, Satan can bite us down here, but he can't take us to hell. See, when we got saved, God took the teeth out of old Satan. He can gum us a little, but he can't destroy us. He can't take us away from what we have in Christ, in justification. We have His favor. His favor. Boy, I'm telling you, as a boy growing up, more than anything else, I wanted my daddy to put his arm around me and say, "Son, I'm proud of you." Boy, you've done good. I remember in junior high school playing football. Daddy used to come to the games. They'd not be at night. They'd be in the afternoon. And man, I wanted him to say, son, that was a good game you played. Boy, you did good. Made a good interception there. I wanted Daddy to be proud of his son, to approve. I wanted him to say, son, let's stop over here and get a hamburger and a Coke on the way home. I wanted to be in his favor. Well, I'll tell you, there's a greater than Daddy in my life now. He is a heavenly Father. One who has done for me what my daddy could not do. One who has loved me unto death to purchase my redemption. And I want his favor. I sure would like for him to be able to say, Bob, proud of you, son. Did a good job. You're living a good life. You're doing my will, son. I'm proud of you. Justification restores the favor of the Heavenly Father to the child of God. Fifthly, with a sinner's justification, comes the imputation of Christ's righteousness. I've already talked about that, but don't discount that. Don't act as though it's not of great value. That's what makes our standing right in Christ, in heaven. We are in Christ. God doesn't see our wickedness. He sees Christ's righteousness. Now, every one of us ought to have two kinds of righteousness in our life. First of all, when we get saved, we are given by the act of imputation, God transferring to us the righteousness of Christ. You don't have to live like the devil if you're a child of God. If you live worldly, you choose to. You have someone in you that is greater than the world and has greater desires and greater aspirations for your life than you've ever even thought or dreamed. So we have His righteousness. Makes it possible for us to be Christ-like, act Christ-like. But He'd also like for us to have personal righteousness. He'd like for us to begin to favor our Father. Act like Him. Do like Him. Make decisions like Him. Well, another much more of justification is heirship. I did not say an heirship. We become part of the family. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Titus 3:7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Man, I'm not just a sinner going to hell. I've been born again. I've been born into the Father's family, our Heavenly Father's family. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus. My big brother's got scars in his hands and on his feet. I'm a part of that family. The much more of justification affects our style of living. Justification results in the receiving of the imputed righteousness of Christ, which leads to righteous living if we'll follow His leadership. Did you know for you to live carnally and worldly in this world, you're going to have to rebel against the Holy Spirit in you? Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to live like the pervert and the harlot or the homosexual. No, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to live like Jesus. There is in you the righteousness of God in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, who is our driving force and our guiding force to do right. And our conviction, our convicting force, when we do wrong. And to do wrong after we're justified, we have to rebel against Him because He's going to lead us to do right. No one can say, God led me to commit sin. God led me to go against His Word. God led me to live like the world. No, no, no. You've got to rebel against the One who is in you, who is holy, holy, holy. He is the spiritual part of the Godhead that moves in us and lives in us all the years and the days of our life as Christians. And that's one of the much mores of justification. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. Much more, because of justification, the believer is assured that he'll be saved from the coming wrath of God. Now, I told you a moment ago, we don't ever have to worry about hell if we're saved. But let me tell you something else we don't have to worry about. We don't have to worry about tribulation either. We don't have to worry about that time when God pours out His wrath and judgment on this old sinning world. Why? Because just as Noah was lifted above the flood before the judgment came on the sinning earth, and just like Lot was delivered out of Sodom before the hailstones of fire rained down on that wicked city, God's children's going to be caught out of this old wicked world before His wrath falls on it. And that's our promise from God. One of the much mores of justification. Well, I've got one more and I'll be through tonight. Much more, the one who is justified is assured of being glorified. Glorified. Did you? Now, we don't look like it right now. You don't look glorified, neither do I. No matter how cool you try to be, you're not glorified. And neither am I. But because we got saved, son, one of the much mores of justification is the fact that we're going to be glorified one day. That means this old earthly body is going to be put aside and we're going to have a heavenly body like unto the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And that's ours. That's ours because of justification. One of the much mores of justification. Moreover, whom He did foreknow, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified. I'm looking at you and me and seeing all of our faults, all of our blemishes, all of our problems. But God looks down at us and sees us beyond where we are. He sees us in Christ and already glorified. That's as assured to the child of God as anything in our Christian life is assured. Just as certainly as I know I'm saved, just as certainly I know that heaven is my home, I know that one of these days these old joints aren't going to hurt anymore. This old back's not going to hurt anymore. One of these days, I'm not going to have to shave anymore. One of these days, I don't have to look at the blemishes anymore. Because I'm going to have a new body. A perfect body. A glorified body. A body like the resurrected body of Jesus. Have you ever thought about things you'd like to do with your glorified body? I've always thought about just slipping through that door without opening it. I've tried that a time or two in this life, haven't you? But I always end up with knots and black eyes and bloody noses. Not then. Not then. Little Salvador, that leg's not going to ever hurt again when you get that new body. And that's ours tonight because of justification. One of the moreovers of justification. And moreover, my time. Much more, my time is gone tonight. We'll take up there next week. Heavenly Father, just to read and give thought and study to some of the precious truths.